Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Oh, you know that music. You know what it means. It's time for us to head east. Although our man Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports.
Do you think karaoke bars downtown are getting a higher request for this song?
I think so.
Thanks to our next guest.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like it's up. The Ronnie Millsap requests are, hey, what song do you want to sing? Hey, do you guys have Smoky Mountain Rain?
I mean, you tell me that a bar doesn't come to life.
You mean the song they play when Vince Ferrara comes on? Yeah, we got that one.
I mean, the answer is yes, Willie.
Oh, no question. We know the answer.
Yeah. I think karaoke, that song has gone up in this market for karaoke. People are requesting it at a high rate because of Mondays at noon. Vince Ferrara is now on the line with us. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good. The karaoke here, I don't know if it's had an impact in Knoxville yet because – They don't play that for me here, but I'm glad it's making waves in the mid-state. Appreciate
they should.
It.
Yeah, I heard when Kentucky beat the Lady Vols, this is what they were jamming in the locker room. That's what I hear.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, no, too soon.
Too soon. Very.
Is that too soon?
Yeah, really too soon.
Yeah. Okay, I'll wait till next week then. I'll save that one.
You didn't read the tea leaves there.
We'll go ahead and forget what you just said and flush it, and then you start over next week.
And let's just start there. We had a great conversation with Kelly Arper last week. And, you know, she addressed the injuries to Horston and Green. And it's clear that they're – and I get it. We all know they're important, especially Horston. I mean, they're how vitally important they – but they – I'm not sure they can recover from this, right? I mean, they're just too important. I mean, how is this going to affect them moving forward?
Yeah, not unless they miraculously get Horston back, and you know, as
is that possible?
I doubt it. I mean, you know, it's a pretty significant elbow injury, but. You know, they've been non-committal and not wanting to close the book on it and saying it's day-to-day, week-to-week, or, you know, stuff
I mean,
like
when
that.
When you see her here in Nashville, Vince, I mean, she doesn't look like a player that's about ready to come back anytime soon.
I'm with you. I know. And, you know, she's with her team at least. But, yeah, it doesn't look like it with what she went through. But... even if she did, how effective would she be? You know, so that's another factor. I guess from a present standpoint, it would still help somewhat. But, yeah, this team just doesn't have end-of-shot clock answers. Now you're taking away a top defender, and then everybody has to kind of move up the ladder there in guarding a tougher defender. Plus, it makes Tennessee smaller in the backcourt. It just has such a trickle-down effect. You have one less player that can get in the paint. Now the rebounding falls even more on Tamari Key, and you know, she's gotten into some foul trouble at times. So it just has a domino effect. And then not having Green as another backup post, too, that puts even more pressure on Key. So I see them having a limit in how far they can go because they're just not 100%. And it's a shame because I think Kelly Harper has done a good job with this year's team.
Yeah, I agree. What are they, a 3 or a 4 seed? What do you think? How do you think it's going to shake out?
Charlie Cream, his update today, he has them as a second highest 3 seed. So he's usually pretty spot on. So I expect them to probably be a 3, yeah.
Which would mean, because the top 4 seeds get home games, right? So they'll get a home game?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, well, potentially 2, you know, if you advance first round, you get the 2. And then another thing, you avoid the 1 seeds as well for, you know, another. It just gives you, another path to get a little bit farther. But, you know, we'll see.
the conversation would have been a whole lot different in your market this week and today with you if they would have, I mean, I just can't imagine if they would have blown that lead. Now, they end up winning, and that's ultimately what it kept. But they were up, what, almost 24. What was it, 24?
Yeah, 24.
And
yeah.
They win by four, but still, it's a win. I mean, they finished the season strong. What do you make overall of how the Vols ended their regular season? Now everybody's headed to Tampa for the SEC tournament.
Well, the first half was insanity. I mean,
Lights out.
We've seen Tennessee at times shoot well. Obviously, there have been the really bad games too, but we've never seen a display like that. I think at one point they were 9 of 12 from 3 in the game. Just insanity. They scored more points in the first half than did the entire game in Fayetteville. They had 50 to just 48 in Fayetteville in their 10-point loss on the road. So I figured it was going to be a completely different game, and Tennessee feeds off the home crowd, but Arkansas came out with different urgency and energy in the second half, and Tennessee gave up some offensive rebounds and were killed on the glass in the second half, and then it was kind of hard for them to sort of reel it back in. I didn't even think Arkansas played that smart in coming back. They just were jacking up threes that were falling for them and then getting those offensive boards. But, you know, like has happened during the stretch, Tennessee in some close games where they nearly give up the lead, make enough plays to kind of get themselves out of it. They missed some free throws down the stretch until Vescovi made a couple to get it back to a two-possession game. So that's something that could resurface in an NCAA tournament game, is having a lead and trying to hold on, because that's three wins recently where they have had to kind of hold on for dear life at the end. And you have heightened pressure and stress in those NCAA tournament games where you're done if you don't execute. So we'll see. And then Kennedy Chandler's missed free throws is another part of the concern too. He has completely lost his confidence from the free throw line. He's shooting 55% in conference
Yikes.
Play. I mean, it's a guy with a ball in his hand all the time, but you want him to be aggressive, and then he's going to get to the line, and he's got to get that out of his head. He's more comfortable from three than he is from the free throw line, so it's totally mental for him. But, you know, we'll see in the NCAA tournament. This team continues to show a higher upside, that higher ceiling that we've talked about, because they keep elevating play at times, but then some of the other stuff that could send them out as an early exit is still there for them.
Did anybody catch what they said on the broadcast late in the first half, on the telecast? Late in the first half, what were there, like 24, 25 fouls called in the first half? Who was it? Was it Jimmy Dykes? Who was doing the game?
Yeah, Tom Hart and Jimmy Dykes, yeah.
Tom Hart and Jimmy Dykes. I don't remember. I think it may have been Tom who used the line when they called a foul. He said, "There's been more whistles in this game than a Vanderbilt baseball game." Well, that was a pretty good line.
Oh, now that's a high bar. That's a high bar. Now, look, you could put a poll question, which is more annoying, and then you run with that. But, yeah. There you go.
I thought that was a pretty good line in that game, but now it's set up, right? So what do you make of, you know, the top four seed? They're just going to sit and wait as the first 2 days of action take place in Tampa, await their opponent. How much of an advantage do you think that is for the seeds, just sitting and taking 2 days off?
Well, I think it is, because Tennessee is a little banged up. They've had some players sit out, you know, some contact portion of practices. It's been a long season, obviously. You know, you worry about getting out of rhythm when overall you're playing well. So you just never know. And then you have the dynamic of neutral site, you know, a different venue, different shooting backdrop. So everybody is going to handle it differently. You know, the freshmen may not handle it as well as, you know, some of Tennessee's veterans, like and more natural shooters like Santiago Vescovi. So it's such a crapshoot on how everybody handles it. Rick Barnes has actually had some decent tournament success. He got Tennessee to the finals in back-to-back years in 2018 and 2019. I was there in Nashville courtside for that unbelievable semifinal between Tennessee and Kentucky. That went down to the wire, just a classic in an unbelievable atmosphere at Bridgestone. And then they went on to lose to Auburn in the finals. So, you know, it kind of sets up similar to that potentially, Darren. You could have Tennessee and Kentucky in the semifinals on the bottom side of the bracket. And, you know, Tennessee wins that game and they split this year, and Barnes has had his fair share of success against Kentucky, despite the fact that the Cats always dominate, not only had historically with tournament success, but the fan base as well. It will be no different in Tampa. Although I do think Tennessee fans will travel pretty well, but no one travels like Kentucky. And then at the top, you know, you could very well have Auburn sitting there, and then Bruce Pearl's in the way for your first SEC conference championship, tournament championship since 1979. That's how long it's been for Tennessee. So, I mean, and Arkansas is obviously playing as well as anybody, so we'll see. But I think it plays out well. The two teams they could face, Mississippi State, they beat in their one game earlier this year. They routed South Carolina twice. So it'll be one of those two on Friday, good time slot. So I think it plays out well, just a matter of how healthy Kentucky is and, you know, which Tennessee team we see for what period of time during those games.
We'll come back. Derek and Willie will hit Vince with some more questions on the other side as we continue our discussion about the University of Tennessee. But first, Willie's got a word about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. Big week down in Tampa with the SEC Men's Tournament. Big week for the Predators coming up with three home games. And all three are enormous in the standings. Notice I said enormous, Derek. We're working on different ways to say how important this week is here. Starts with the Dallas Stars tomorrow. And Lee Company will be on display. When you come to Smashville, you'll see their display. They're a big sponsor of Predators hockey, including our coverage here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have our pregame starting at 6 and the faceoff at 7. Lee Company also wants you to know that they're ever ready to help you make sure your air conditioning unit is running properly during these months. It's coming, the warm weather. People are outside. The weather's getting warm. How nice has it been to get the shorts on and the T-shirt and get outside? Well, that means the air conditioning is going to be running inside before too long. Make sure it's running well. If you haven't had it checked since last year or 2 years ago, whatever it is, call Lee Company, 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000, or go to LeeCompany.com.
Back at you. Darren, Donick, Chasen DeMace. Did I do it right, John? Darren? talk with Vince Farrar. Talk involves basketball, women's, men's. I'm going to make that my theme song, too, Vince. That's going to be my theme song. The more and more I hear it, the more and more I like it, man.
It's kind of catchy.
Yeah, it is, very much so. Looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology, his big board, he has right now UT at a number three seed, the men's at a number three seed. He has Auburn and Kentucky at a number two. Now, if UT is to win the SEC tournament, do you think the highest they get is a two?
Yes, I think two is within range. There are too many teams, I think, that have established themselves for too long during the season that would be between them and a one seed. Another thing is there are a couple of teams there that if it's really close that have a head-to-head over Tennessee in Villanova and Texas Tech. So I think Tennessee, if they were to win the SEC tournament, in Tampa, I think they could get to a two seed, but I think a one seed would be too far away.
Now, switching over to the women's side, I watched that game, the first game that they had. I forget who it was against, the game before Kentucky.
Alabama,
yes. And there was a stretch there because the game was a little bit hectic to start off, as you know. It was just back and forth, and no one was making shots. But it just seems like UT kicked it in another gear, the Lady Vols, and started playing defense, and it was smothering defense. If they play defense in that type of fashion, how far do you think they get in the tournament?
Yeah, D-Mace, it's so much about matchups. Mm-hmm. I think they match up really good against Alabama. Alabama doesn't have the greatest of size, although the guards have played pretty well, but Tennessee had an advantage inside, and so I think you had your guards playing really well defensively, but I think it was just a really good matchup for them. Kentucky has threats on the perimeter inside. Ryan Howard is from the state of Tennessee on that team, and they're playing as well as anyone, obviously, in winning that championship game in stunning fashion over South Carolina. So I think there it just depends on who they match up with. Some teams, they're going to be able to suffocate. They've really played good defense all year, and it's a shame that they don't have Jordan Horson and Keon Green, because you see the potential of what they can do in stretches in certain games. They were even better when they had their full roster. So I still think there's a limitation in where, how far they could go playing that well, because it just depends on who they're matched up with.
Now, on a good note, it was bad at first, but then it turned out to be such a showing of love and care for, and tell me if I'm pronouncing its name wrong, Zakia Ziegler. His family lost their house in a fire up in Queens, New York, but the fans were able to raise over $360,000 to help that family out.
Yeah, amazing. And Tennessee fans, the way they step up and show their volunteer spirit so frequently when tough things happen, they step up. And, the University of Tennessee had gotten permission from the NCAA to start a GoFundMe for him and his family. And, they lost everything in their home. His mom was actually down with him and the team watching him. So it's just such a shame with everything, all the adversities he's had to go through, he and his family, and sacrifices, to have that happen to him was devastating. But then the fan base stepped up in that way, and they don't know how much, what it's going to cost to recoup things and get back going. But they even said, because they were so overwhelmed and got so much money and donations, that anything over what they need, they will donate to charity. Just incredible. People from other fan bases throughout the league, Rick Barnes pointed out how Jerry Stackhouse from Vandy texted him immediately when he heard about the story and said, "Tell me what I can do. We want to help." And just, a lot of people helping out, and just so well done by the Tennessee fan base.
Boy, that is really cool. Vince, before we let you go, give us the thought on baseball. And you had some thoughts recently on your show about, with Major League Baseball mired in this work stoppage, the lockout, maybe they don't play until May. What about the window for college baseball and maybe getting some eyeballs there?
Yeah, we had Tom Hart on, who we were talking about earlier. I asked him, "Hey, what do you think the impact could potentially be for college baseball if Major League Baseball's work stoppage, goes, well into the season? And is that an opportunity for college baseball to get on a higher stage?" And he thought, absolutely. Now, obviously, he can't speak for, what exactly they're going to do in terms of programming, but he thinks in terms of at least the attention of baseball fans, that they would shift some to college baseball and give that opportunity. It's a terrific product right now as well. And why not? And he pointed out not just baseball, but softball could see, potentially sort of move up the ladder in terms of the networks that would broadcast those and put them on those bigger platforms. So I think there is that opportunity. And as far as Tennessee this past weekend, they played in Houston at a really good tournament. Six teams there. They played three others, started out Friday night with number one Texas, lost 7-2 first and only loss of the year, and then bounced back with two middle-of-the-road Big 12 teams. They handled Baylor and Oklahoma after that fourth shutout of the year in an 8-0 win over Oklahoma. So I think they showed well, and obviously, you know, Texas is an elite team that brought back a whole bunch from last year's team, and they were the team actually that ended Tennessee's season, gave them that second loss in Omaha in the College World Series and handed them their first loss and only loss here this season.
Vince, love the perspective as always. Enjoy the tournament this week down in your home state, and we'll see what happens as it unfolds as we get ready for the Selection Sunday coming up in less than a week.
Yeah, appreciate it. And by the way, Tennessee has hired a new wide receivers coach, Kelsey Pope. They elevated from an analyst role, so he stays with the team. Just wanted to point that out. That just went down just a little while ago.
Oh, good stuff. All right, Vince. Talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, Vince Ferrara, Sports Animal over in Knoxville. When we come back, we'll check the bubble. Speaking of Selection Sunday, we'll tell you what happened over the weekend, who made some big moves, where we see the seeds, and the teams getting in right now. Meanwhile, Loan Pronto wants to keep pounding away at the message, your home value is way up. You can use that money now that's available to you to pay off credit cards, remodel your house, or both. Just call my guys at Loan Pronto. They can convert that home equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks with no cost to you, zero hassle. Lots of people doing this. One recent couple called Loan Pronto. This is how they divided it up. They got the zero cost cash out refi, got their check, took half of it, paid off some credit card bills, plus paid off a car loan. So they paid bills with one half, took the other half, and upgraded their master bath and kitchen. They locked in a new APR in the twos, lowered their monthly bills by hundreds of dollars. You can follow the same game plan. To see what's in your home equity, call Loan Pronto, and they can help you with that. Call them now at 615-499-5780, and you can even skip your next two house payments. Go to loanpronto.com for the info, or once again, the phone number, 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Back here on the DDC, it's, you know what that music means. It's time to get a little updated. Brackets, we did it last week. Some games have been played, big games have been played. Regular seasons are in the books. Some teams have already punched their tickets. This is a big week. It's tournament week, conference tournament week. And then, of course, on Sunday will be Selection Sunday. So with that being said, Willie and Elijah have collected their groupings from last week's unveiling. What's changed? I saw Longwood punch their ticket in as the number one seed in their conference tournament. They took care of business. What was it, the Longwood Lancers?
This is what we learned on Friday with the first, or I guess it was Thursday, the first bubble watch update. Mm. We'll have another one on Wednesday and another one on Friday. And, of course, Elijah and I on Selection Sunday will be putting the final guesses in, as we do every year. Of course, I got to work around the Predators game that day. It's going to be a busy weekend with a couple of hockey games mixed in. So let's tell you, Darren mentioned Longwood. There have been three teams that have qualified automatically by winning their conference tournament. Longwood is one out of the Big South. Loyola Chicago out of the Missouri Valley. Now, of course,
Sister Jean
is back. So that group, they've been a great story the last couple of tournaments. Of course, we skipped one, but they're in. And Elijah, that is a relief to some bubble teams.
That is a significant win for a lot of bubble teams because they had been sitting right on the last four out, first four in kind of deal. I had them out if they didn't make it.
Yeah, I think they would have been sweating big time. I don't think
really
they would have
close.
Made it. But they are in. So that means Northern Iowa, who had a great regular season, NIT.
Out. Yep.
NIT. Murray State, of course, gets in, simplifies things in the OVC because that's another team that I think would have been in. But it would have been a very difficult decision, you know, difficult decision. It would have been very tough. I think a lot of people would have been full on. Murray State should be in. They're good. They passed the eye test. But they didn't beat anybody.
They played almost 20 quad four games.
Yes, that's too many. That's bottom feeding, even for a team from that league.
And three non-D1s.
But you don't have to worry about it. They're in. Now, there's a couple more tonight. Louisiana against Georgia State will play for the Sun Belt title tonight. That means the regular season champ Texas State didn't make it to the final. Life is tough in the one big
league city right there.
And then the other one tonight is Jacksonville in the A Sun against Bellarmine. And Bellarmine cannot go, right?
Yep, Bellarmine is technically ineligible because they're not three full years into D1. So here's a scenario. Oh, Jacksonville wins, obviously, the Fighting Artist Gilmore has punched their ticket into the NCAA tournament. If they lose, the bid will go to the regular season champion, which was Jacksonville State.
Okay, so Jacksonville State not playing tonight, but could end up
because they got
being
beat
in
by Jacksonville, but can still get in if Bellarmine wins.
Is that up to the league, or is that... That's what they've decided.
I think that's what the league decided.
Okay,
was
so
that would be the case.
There's no debate. It's
yeah, that is exactly
interesting scenario there. Poor Bellarmine.
I hate
you
it.
Know, that stinks
awful
for them. Belmont had to go through that. Lipscomb had to go through that. The transition. Back by the way, guys, you know Jacksonville's nickname. It's not the Fighting Artist Gilmore's, even
Jaguars.
Though Elijah does have the jersey on from back in the day. They made the Final Four back in the day.
Mm.
The Dolphins.
The Jacksonville Dolphins.
The Jacksonville Dolphins. Not the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. The Jacksonville Dolphins.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we won't go through all of the other one-bid leagues for now. That's going to be fun. Always worth watching those tournament final games. It'll be sprinkled in throughout the week. Now let's move on. In the American Conference, yet an interesting development there with Memphis beating Houston for a second time. So we're going to get to that. We'll move forward with the teams that are going to be in at large for sure. Let's start with the West Coast Conference. We're at 26 teams. Gonzaga, we know, is going to be in no matter what. They're in the semifinals. St. Mary's is going to be in no matter what. San Francisco has moved into the semifinals tonight, and they play
Gonzaga.
How do they fare against Gonzaga? If they play well, I think that probably, even if they lose, I think that solidifies mm-hmm. them. They should be in,
yeah,
I think.
They'll be in regardless.
I think so, too.
The win against BYU definitely helps because BYU is sitting on the bubble as well. They're a coin flip if they're in or not. The Don's got a big one there.
Okay, we're going to get to them a little later. Now, I'm going to have you call out the seeds here for these teams that we know are in. From the ACC, Duke, after losing to North Carolina, what's their seed?
Duke, I have as a 3.
Notre Dame, not a super impressive resume, but I think going to get in there because, hey, the second team from the ACC is going to get in.
I have them as the next to last team in.
I mean, it's really not good. Notre Dame sweating.
They have a unique resume. If it wasn't for the win against Kentucky in December,
that's what separates them. That's what separates them. I think Notre Dame's in. Big Ten, Purdue, seed.
Purdue, I now have as a 3.
Eked out a win over Indiana at home over the weekend. Illinois,
I have as a 4.
Ohio State, a lot of ups and downs here recently. Lost to Michigan yesterday.
Ohio State is a fringe 5.
Fringe 5, slipping a little bit in the seed. Iowa,
a 6. Strong 6.
A good win at Michigan earlier in the week.
Michigan State. It's a little dicey there. Mm. A 9 seed.
Slipping to a 9. Ooh, you don't want to be in that 8-9, Mace.
Nice.
Don't want to be in that 8-9. You're not worried about it?
I'm worried about
okay.
it.
You think they could knock off a 1 seed?
Oh, of course.
Okay. 9 seed right. against TCU is ooh, what I have them against.
It'd be a good first round. Big 12, Baylor.
Baylor,
still a 1.
Very much so a 1.
Kansas, still a 1?
Fringe. It's a little closer now. But
okay.
They have 10 quad 1 wins.
Very important to see if they can hang on to that. Something to watch for. Texas Tech
hanging around as a 3.
Texas,
a 5.
Playing well, took Kansas to overtime at Kansas. Pretty good performance. Iowa State. Weird resume.
Very
poor non-conference,
weird.
But a lot of big wins.
Well, probably the only team in the history of college basketball to get 9 quad 1 wins and be a 7 seed.
Yep. TCU playing well down the stretch.
TCU an 8 against D-Mesa Spartans.
Yeah. Pac-12, very interesting league to watch. Arizona?
Uno.
No question. Maybe 1 overall is
they'll compete
close.
For it if they win the Pac-12 tournament convincingly.
USC,
definitely slipping a little bit, an 8 seed.
UCLA, big win over USC over the weekend.
4 seed.
SEC, Auburn.
Auburn, a 2.
Kentucky.
A 2.
Tennessee.
A 2.
Ooh, you like Tennessee as a 2.
Tennessee is tied with Alabama for the most wins against top 10 teams in net. They also have no losses outside of the quad 1 and have 7 quad 1 wins. It is stronger than any other team that is a 3 seed.
Ooh, very interesting. If they could get a 2, that'd be huge. Arkansas.
A 4.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Very difficult schedule.
This is the absolute trickiest one to do, but they are a 6.
Yeah. LSU, big win over the weekend to get right.
Made them a 6.
A 6?
Fringe, wow. 6.
A fringe 6. Okay. Big East, Villanova.
Villanova, a 2.
Providence.
Providence, a 4.
UConn.
UConn, a 6.
Marquette.
Marquette, the Fighting Dwayne Wades, a 7.
And Seton Hall.
Seton Hall, an 8.
The Hole! Houston, from the American.
Houston, very tricky team to do as well. They are a 5.
Boise State.
Boise State, from the Mountain West. I have them as a 7.
A 7. And A-10, right now, this is where we're going to segue as we go to the break. Davidson.
A 12.
A 12, but we're going to pick up that discussion. The A-10 is one of the more interesting leagues to watch this week. All right, that gets us to 55 teams. When we come back, we'll get to the final 12 at-large seeds and tell you what the picture looks like this week. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of the Bubble Watch on 102.5 The Game. Time for part two of the Bubble Watch here on 102.5 The Game. It's down to crunch time. Conference tournaments going on all around the country. Who is going to make it? Yes, you can watch Joe Lunardi, and every single second he's going to change the brackets. He's going to move it around. So where you are today may not be where you are on Sunday, and it all comes down to then. So let's tell you where it sits right now on the bubble. This is how I see it. Elijah Campbell helping out as well. Coming up at 1 o'clock, by the way, we'll switch gears, talk some hockey. Michael McCarron, who had a career night in San Jose. 2 goals and 2 assists. He might be a good power forward on a bubble team.
A good rebounder.
Six
that physicality?
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So we're talking hockey at 1 o'clock. But now, to the bubble. We gave you 55 slots so far. Now, here are the teams that I think are on the high end of the bubble, almost secure. Almost secure. Team number 56. We're going with Miami. I think they're just about there. I think that they're there.
They have the resounding win with a win at Duke.
That's the key. They've got that. Very few of these other teams can put that up there. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be in there. It's a weak year in the ACC. It is flabbergasting what's going on with that thing.
That's the difference between Miami and North Carolina and Notre Dame and Wake Forest. Wake Forest doesn't have any of those kind of wins.
Okay. One of the more intriguing things to try to decipher is the Mountain West Conference. This is a year where you could get 4 teams in there, which has almost never happened. But it's always one of those weird leagues where it's not like those teams can geographically just go play a bunch of teams from the East Coast or the Southeast. They just don't have that kind of resume. But the new way of doing Quad 1 wins, it's a pretty highly rated league. Now, do you believe in those teams? You know, there's that brand, there's that prejudice I think sometimes we have against those teams, but they got good numbers. So Colorado State is going to be in this tournament. We mentioned Boise State. Doesn't mean they're going to win the tournament, but we think they're going to be in and Colorado State are going to be in.
Yes,
fair to say?
Those are the favorites, I would say, okay. Those two teams. Colorado State beating Boise State on Saturday night, a thriller, by the
way. All right,
way,
so hold off on the other two because there's other two that I think are not quite in the higher ratings, but they still could get in there. So Team 57 is Colorado State. Team 58, I'm going with Creighton. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in there. Big East is so deep.
So deep.
Beat each other up. It's like the Big Ten.
5 quad one wins, and they're 13-5 in a very good Big East. Good conference record helps.
Team 59, I'm going San Francisco. I think they're going to get the nod. That league has been better from top to bottom, and they're benefiting from that. I would like, if I'm on the committee, I'd like to see them play with Gonzaga tonight and look like they belong some. Like, very few teams can hang with Gonzaga, but this is your third crack at them. I'd like to see them give them a game.
Have them as a 9 seed against USC, which would be a game that would not be very easy for USC.
Boom. All right, Team 60, Xavier, speaking of the Big East, they had lost 5 in a row, but they finally got back in gear here. They have an extremely difficult schedule. That should get them over the top.
I think 3 weeks ago I had Xavier as a 9. I now have them as a 12, one of the last teams.
They could be thrown into that game, but I think they're going to make it. Team 61, Michigan, I think at 17-13, is that their record? But one of the top strength of schedules.
Mm-hmm. 5 quad one wins and the top 5 strength schedule all around.
Tumultuous season, to say the least. but they're going to be in this tournament. Big win at Ohio State yesterday might have sealed it, regardless of what happens in the Big Ten tournament.
And have won four of their last five without their head coach.
Very interesting that has played out that way. Team 62 along the same lines. Again, we're getting into that sort of last four buys category. 62 is North Carolina. You got to give them credit. All year long, that's been the label. Where are the big wins? Well, win at Duke, you get people's attention. Spoiled the party.
And putting up 93 on Duke in that kind of fashion.
Running away at the end.
And that's it's not necessarily, I guess, too much of an outlier because offensively, they have another gear.
Team 63, speaking of big wins, going with Memphis. Second win over Houston, emphatic win there. I think that's going to get them over the top, even if they were to stumble in the conference tournament, although I'd be sweating a little bit.
Sweeping Houston does everything for you. It would take a catastrophic loss to Tulsa, East Carolina, South Florida. It would take one of those to get them out. I have them as a 9.
I'm with
Seton
you.
Hall.
Team 64, this is where it starts getting a little hairy. I'm sliding in Wake Forest. I really like them. That it's when I ask myself, when somebody comes back to me and says, well, why? I think they're good. The resume, though, it's kind of shaky.
Have the conference player of the year and the conference coach of the year, but they do not have that one defining win that Notre Dame, Miami, and North Carolina have.
Easily could be interpreted differently by the committee, Wake Forest. It's a shaky. We're getting into the shaky territory. Team 65, the final bye. In other words, not having to play in that first four in. I'm going with Rutgers. They followed up their win at Indiana, which was a major win, with taking care of business win. I think they're going to make it.
Yeah, the Rutgers, the only team that can win four straight games against top 25 teams and then still let make you almost forget about their home loss to Lafayette in December.
Okay, so Rutgers, now on to Team 60. I guess Rutgers or Wake Forest could be in that first four-in discussion. Then the last three, to me, are wide, wide open. Wide, wide open. These are shaky because watch out for crazy winners in conference tournaments. These spots might be there when you see Joe Lunardi in final four in, last four in. They could disappear because somebody could make a run. An example like the Pac-12 where it's a real top-heavy. Somebody could make a run and snag a bid.
Susceptible to the bid thief.
Yep, so watch out for that. I got San Diego State and Wyoming in two of those slots from the Mountain West. That's where this interpretation, how strong do you think that league is in reality, is going to come to a head. So if I'm one of those teams, I want to do well in that conference tournament.
Mm-hmm. And there's some teams below that. Utah State was the favorite to win that conference at the beginning of the year. Yep. They could be a bid thief.
Bid thief, potentially, but not getting it as an at-large.
Yes, correct.
I got SMU as another team that could snag one of those first four in. They beat Memphis twice, so they have good-looking record. They got two wins over Memphis, not a whole lot else.
The non-conference record was very
a little shaky.
A
little shaky. So they're going to be in the discussion. And then you get into a discussion in the first four out of teams from power conferences that could make a run in the tournament and the Atlantic 10 teams that I believe somebody's going to go up and win that tournament, and they're going to get a second team in there somewhere. All right, so here are the teams trying to fight their way in as we wrap this up. Indiana, right on the cusp. They have Michigan in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. That could give them a good win to help them, and that could springboard them. Now, if they lose that game, I think they're out.
And another thing, too, Indiana, if they win that game, they will play Purdue in the next round of the Big Ten tournament.
And they were just right there at Purdue. So that could be a game that could get them into the tournament. Oregon is a team that has slipped late. They lost their leading scorer. I don't know what his prognosis is, but they've got a favorable draw in the Pac-12 tournament. So just keep an eye on the Ducks because they've played a very difficult schedule. Then we mentioned the A-10. Davidson's the one seed. St. Bonaventure is on that half of the draw. They're a very, very good team that is
underachieved
a little bit, but still a very dangerous team. They could make a run. And then the other side of the draw, you've got VCU and Dayton as the two and the three. So one of them is likely going to be in the championship game, one game away from an automatic bid. So watch the A-10. Mm-hmm. They could end up with two teams. Then you've got on the next tier, Florida needs a big run in the SEC tournament. But remember, it's down in Tampa. You never know. Couldn't get anything done against Kentucky yesterday or Saturday. That hurt them.
That hurt a lot.
That hurt
a
lot.
Competitive.
So they need a big run in the conference tournament. Virginia's another one. ACC's so wide open. What if they won two or three games in that conference tournament? Knocked off somebody. It's wide open. Something crazy could happen in that tournament. BYU's done. They've got a decent resume. I don't think they're going to get in, but they're hovering around there.
It's going to be really close. I have them as one of the first teams out.
I don't think they're going to make it. Their resume is not going to improve because they're not playing. They're going to be sitting there for a whole week. I don't think they're going to get in there.
The wins don't outweigh their losses. They've had some doozies in the loss category.
So that is your next four out. And then you've got an Oklahoma, a Mississippi State, a Virginia Tech, a SLU, St. Louis U. All would have to make great runs this week and really get leapfrogging a bunch of teams. So that's
Oklahoma
the picture.
Oklahoma and Indiana are essentially the same team. So they're a coin flip. They both need to win something in the tournament if they want to get in.
Did I miss anybody that is on the radar here? I think that's every team that realistically has any kind of sniff.
I didn't even have St. Louis on my sheet.
I just think the A-10 tournament, they could make a run. Somebody that you haven't heard of.
The A-10 and the Mountain West, historical bid thief houses.
Keep an eye on those two tournaments. So, Darren, there you have it. The Bubble Watch. We'll have an update on Wednesday.
Well done. Ole Miss and Missouri will kick off the SEC tournament Wednesday night. That's the 13 versus 12 seed, and then the nightcap will be Georgia and Vanderbilt. So that'll be first round action SEC tournament at Amalie Arena down in Tampa, Florida. We'll come back. We'll switch gears. Michael McCarron had quite the night, just like the Predators Saturday night in San Jose. They beat the Sharks 8-0, and his line was responsible for a whole lot of it. We'll talk with Michael McCarron to begin the final hour of the DDC. We'll do that next.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No